Dorino.
Morning. Good to be with you again. Actually, Steve Poloni, when he closed the first meeting, he actually introduced my message for this morning because he talked about love. And I'd like for us to consider love this morning from the Word of God. Now, love is, if you think about it, if I ask you this morning for a definition of love, I think most of us would probably be a little hard up to come up with a definition because love is extremely difficult to define. Now, it's difficult to define, but I would propose that it is can be described, and Scripture actually does describe it very, very well. In the film, God is Not Dead, I don't know how many of you have seen it, but in the film, God is Not Dead, one of the characters says that love is one of the most overused words in the English language. And he says, love is what we say when we want something. And, you know, when you think about that, that is really true a lot, isn't it? Well, I would love you if you were to do this. Or I would love you if you did this. In other words, love is dependent upon the other person and dependent on what you want to get from that other person. There are all sorts of views regarding love and what love is. If we were asked, most people in the world, and I actually looked this up in the Webster Dictionary, I looked it up and I said, what does the Webster Dictionary say that love is? And I'm not going to give you the whole definition, but basically it said, in general, love is a strong affection. Love is a strong affection. But what I'd like us to do this morning is to look at what God says about love. And the first thing that he says, first of all, is love. God is love. So God is a standard for love. If we want to know what love is, we have to look at God. In 1 John 4, verse 8, it says this, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God has no selfishness. He's always giving. He keeps nothing to himself. The Bible sets the standard for love in God. For it says God is love. Now, God's love, if you, and again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but if you look at the Greek words for love, there are actually three words. And I'm not going to deal with those three words this morning, but the one word is agape love. That's the third one. There's filial love, there's eros, which is a sexual love, and then there is agape love. Now, agape love is actually God's love. Agape love is God's love. And it is unconditional. God's love is not conditional. God did not love you because of who you were and how you are such a great person and you just deserve so much. That's not why God loved you. God loved you in spite of your sin. God loved you in spite of those things that you've done wrong. In spite of your failures. The Bible describes the first man, Adam, and when we think about Adam, what would characterize Adam? He was selfish by nature, wasn't he? Because when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, what did he do? He blamed Eve, right? And then what did Eve do? She blamed the serpent. And then what did their children do? One killed the other. you know, you look at the first Adam or the first man, and you find that there was no good in me. Once they sinned, they were separated from God, and they had no relationship with God. Several years ago, I saw a T-shirt on a young girl, and it said, "It's all about me, me, me." And I thought, you know, that's really true in this world. And it's getting, I think it's getting worse. It's getting more that way, that it's all about me. And I'm concerned about myself and how I'm happy and I'm. The Bible then introduces to us, of course, the second Adam, or the last man, the second man, and that is Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ came, now Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he came to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. That's why he came to earth. And when he died on Calvary's cross, he paid for my sin. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And John 15, verse 13 and 14 says this, "Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." So God sent his Son, who loved us with a God's love. God so loved that he gave his only Son. Jesus Christ then demonstrated the epitome for love, because the Bible says that love, true love, is when you would give up your life for your friend. And Jesus Christ gave his life for you and for me, not when we were friends, when we were enemies, when we were apart from God, separated from him. It's exactly the opposite to what we see in Adam. Adam was a selfish man, but Jesus Christ was a man who gave. No greater love has any man than to give his life for his friends. Then Romans 8:39 says, "The love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we look at it, we say, well, how can we know the love of God? We can look at his Son, Jesus Christ, because Romans 8 says, "The love of God which is in Jesus Christ, his Son." So Jesus Christ demonstrated real love to you and to me. It says in the Bible that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but you think about Jesus Christ coming from heaven's glory to this earth. He grew up, he lived like you and me, in the sense that he experienced everything, hunger, tiredness, everything he experienced, but without sin. And he went right through his life, and then he gave his life for you and me. But thinking about the fact that he, it says in Colossians 1, that he created all things. All things were created by him and for him. So here is the creator of the universe coming to earth as a baby. He grew up in his early 30s, and then he was crucified, and he paid the penalty for your sin and my sin on Calvary's cross. And we're going to look at what we have to do in order to take that as part of our existence, as part of our life direction. It says in Romans 13 and verse 9 and 10, "For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it shall be summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbors as yourself." And when you think about love, that is the definition of true love, is to love other people like yourself. What a different world this would be, wouldn't it, if each of us practiced this principle? If we truly loved each other as we love ourselves. In other words, we are concerned about others' welfare as much as we're concerned about our own. And I thought about this, like, how would my marriage be different if I were to do that? How would my job be different if I were practicing that every single day? And how would my service be different? So not only is God the standard of love, but secondly, God empowers agape love in believers. So when you think about agape love, that's not the normal kind of love. Agape love is a very different kind of love than we know as human beings. Well, God gave those who accept his son's sacrifice on Calvary's cross and receive Jesus Christ into their lives as their Savior in payment for their sin, he gives them the Holy Spirit as soon as they're saved. As soon as they accept him as Savior, they receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is described as the great helper. The great helper. He was the one that God gave us to help us until Jesus Christ returns again. Which the way the world's going probably is not going to be too long from now. The world is really a crazy place. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to build in you and in me, a holy character, a holy mind, and a spiritual disposition. In Galatians 5:22-23, which a lot of you may know, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it goes on to say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, whenever I read that list, it has kind of a calming effect on me. I think about that and I think, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all really great characteristics to have in our, aren't they? But the Bible says that if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the fruit of that, what comes from the tree, if you wish, are these things which we mentioned here. It's all a matter of us being submitted to the will of God. In all of my relationships to exhibit these characteristics. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is known as, for many of you, is known as the love chapter of the Bible. Because it says basically that if we are the most wonderful person in the world, but we don't have love, then we're really nothing. We're just as a tinkling cymbal. And this is what it says. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Now think about your own life and how you interact with others. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love is an action, not an abstraction. So love is not a concept out there. Love is an action. Some of you may have read the book, Love is a Choice. When you think about that, that's really true. You know, we see in a lot of marriages, that the husband or the wife says, I just don't love him anymore, or I don't love her anymore. That's a choice. Love is not a gushy feeling outside. Love is not, oh, everybody, like this. That's not love. Love is an action. Love is it's got results that come from decisions that I make. Love, again, defies definition, but this chapter describes it. Positively, it says love is patient with people. It's gracious to them with generosity. Negatively, it says love never envies or brags or is arrogant. So love never is about me. Love is always about the other person. Love never wants its own way. Does that ever happen in your life? That's probably one of the biggest issues that we have as human beings, isn't it? We really want our own way. And even the way that people treat each other in a marriage relationship so often, I refer to it as knowing how to push the other person's button. Now, if you have children, young children, every child learns very quickly how to push the buttons of the other kids, don't they? You just watch it, and of course, you walk into the room and you see a child misbehaving, and you punish that child, but it was the other one that started the whole thing and set it all up. But you just saw the results of the second thing. Why? Because we like to have things centered around us. As human beings, it is really all about me, me, me. And so even a marriage relationship, the husband and wife will learn what buttons to push to get the results that they want. And it might be going silent, or it might be violent temper, or it might be this or that or the next thing. But it's learning how I can control the other person. But love never envies. It never brags. It's never arrogant. It's never rude or overbearing. You think about that. Love is never rude or overbearing. Love never wants its own way, but seeks to genuinely know my brother and seek ways to help and to serve him. Love is not angered or taking things as a personal offense. How often when something happens do we take it personally? And we think it's a hurt against us. But that's not love when we look at it. I think of the group of people here at the assembly. And I'm not here every week, so I don't know all your interactions. I know what I see when I come here. But do we, as a group of believers, do we love each other? Or do we get upset because somebody did something in a way that we didn't think was really the way we would have done it, and therefore we criticize that person to somebody else? You see, we all have that tendency, don't we, to think that it's better if I did it, because if I did it, it would be done right. And so anything that anybody else does, I may look at and I say, well, that really wasn't proper, or that wasn't right. Well, that's not love. But love is not easily provoked. Love is forgiving. Love accepts what is done. And when I do it, I'll do it the way that I think was the best to do it. But I'm not going to be critical of this one or that one. I'm not going to talk to somebody else about that person. It finds no love, finds no pleasure in someone else's sin, even the sin of an enemy. And we know that can happen too, can it? Somebody that maybe is a rival of yours falls, or they, and secretly in your heart, because you wouldn't do this publicly, serve them right. Right away we're judging that individual. But love finds no pleasure in someone else's sin, even the sin of an enemy. On the positive side again, love is devoted to truth in everything, to be true in everything. With regard to all things, within God's righteous and gracious will, love protects, it believes, it hopes, and endures what others reject. So love is extended to people who aren't lovely. I know in my own life that I have had occasion to have even fellow Christians who rub me the wrong way. I can think of one lady at our assembly. And man, this lady used to drive me around the bend. She'd come up after a meeting and she wouldn't come up and say, "Hi, how you doing? How's everything going?" She'd come up, and she'd be immediately, you know, like, and I got to the point where I tried to go the other way, you know. When I saw her come, I tried to disappear. And then I realized in my life, I said, you know, that really isn't love. That woman irritates me by the way she acts, but I'm not showing love to her. And so I, before the Lord, I confessed that before the Lord, and I said, "Lord, help me to love this lady." Well, you never believe how she changed. Because when she came up and at me like this, I just treated her nicely, listened to her, tried to explain things to her, and I truly tried to love her. And my attitude made the whole difference in that relationship. I no longer was apprehensive when she came my way. Why? Because I said, I'm going to show God's love to that lady, even though she drives me crazy. And what a change took place, but the change happened in me. She was still the same, but because I had a different attitude towards her, because I had decided I was going to love her, then her behavior no longer irritated me. It no longer got me upset. So it endures what others reject. Agape love, again, I'd like to repeat, is a decision which entails considering the needs of others before your own needs. To give without expecting a return. You know, we say, well, I had this person over to my house. I've had them over 7 times. They've never had me back. Well, as soon as we start doing that, we then have transgressed. We're no longer in the realm of love. Because as soon as we start keeping track of what others do for us, and then we will love them based upon their response to us, we're outside of agape love. Agape love is loving and not expecting anything in return. When I think about it, and if you think about it, God loves you unconditionally. You did not deserve the love of God. I did not deserve the love of God. It wasn't because I grew up in a good family and I did this and this and this that God loved me. God loved me in spite of all my shortcomings and my failures. And that's the kind of love that He expects us to have for others. God's love is not conditional, does not depend on me. It's all about Him. So God is the standard for love. God empowers love because He gives us the Holy Spirit. So those things He tells us about agape love, those are possible, folks. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you've accepted Christ as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you can love that way if you subject yourself to the Word of God and apply that Word to your life. You can love that way. You have the power. And the third thing is that God is not only the standard, He not only empowers love, but He requires it in His children. I think love is the badge of Christianity. Now, this is what Steve basically said this morning at the end of the last meeting. He said, you know, the world, they love each other, and it's good for us to love the world to love those people who aren't saved. It's good for us. But do you know that the Bible says that as Christians, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, that we're to love other believers especially? That we're especially to have love to other believers. So let's see what it says about that in God's Word. In John 13, 34 and 35, it says, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then listen to this. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So as Christians, we are instructed and commanded by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved you? How has he loved me? He gave his life on Calvary's cross. He paid for my sin with his death. He conquered sin and death in order that I might have a relationship with God, that I might be brought back to God, because sin separates us from God. And the only way for us to have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. Now, I know the world we live in today, they say, oh, there's many ways to God. You can do this, you can do that. It doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe in. All roads lead to heaven. Not so. The Bible tells us that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way. And if that makes us intolerant, oh well. Because that's what God's Word tells us. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. The church then should be one before God in the fellowship of love. It's one towards each other in deep affection, and one before the world in a visible display. So if I go out of here this morning and talk to somebody in the world and tell them about this person or that person at Curtis Chapel that I have a difficulty with because of what I'm doing, as I'm signaling to the world that I don't have love, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be going out of here and doing that. Colossians 3, 12 and 14. And I want you to listen to this list. These are lists of love that we've been looking at this morning. But listen to this. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, now it says this, put on the following things. It says, put on a heart of compassion. Do I have a heart of compassion? Put on kindness. In saying what I just said, is that really kindness? In saying something the way I said it, is that kindness? Put on humility. Do I look at others better than myself? In other words, do I look with humility? It says, put on gentleness. Notice this list is awfully the same as these other lists we've read in the New Testament. Put on patience. It's hard having patience if you're a parent of young children. That's hard. Because they try your patience sometimes. Sometimes when they get older, they try your patience too. But how do we react with them? Do we react with patience? Or do we fly off the handle with them? Do we show them a part of us that we shouldn't? I'm not saying that we don't discipline. We do. But we do it in love. And we deal with things wrong between us in love too. If you've done something that has offended me, what am I supposed to do? Scriptures say I'm supposed to go to you and I'm supposed to deal with that with you. I'm not supposed to go to Dan and say, hey, Dan, you know what that person said to me? No, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go to the person. In many cases, the whole situation is solved right there. But we're not to be talking about each other or talking about others. We're to be going to that person and in love dealing with them. Now, When I spoke on this topic another time, one of the ladies in our assembly went to one of the younger men and went up one side of him and down the other side because of his sneeze. Because he sneezes loud, and she informed him that his sneeze was of the devil. And the devil was causing him to sneeze and disrupt the meeting. And I thought, really? Just gave this message on love. And this is an older woman. This isn't a young woman. This is an older woman. And she went and ripped this guy up one side and down the other side in front of other people. And I thought, oh, she must have heard me saying, if somebody offends you, go to that person. But the part she forgot was, in love. When you deal with a situation like this, there are issues that come up. But the command is to deal with it in love. To deal with it gently. Love, it says put on, it's a bearing with one another. Putting up with one another. Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you also do. So I look at this, how has the Lord forgiven me? Man, he has forgiven me for all my shortcomings. And you think I learn and not repeat the same behavior? Now, if you're honest, you're going to say there's a lot of things in the Word of God that you know that you end up transgressing because of your human nature, and you simply do. You know, I know it's not right to talk about somebody else to somebody else, but I end up doing it. And immediately, God convicts me and says, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. What love is in an assembly, in a group of believers, I believe, is the perfect bond of unity. Love heals all things. It covers over all things. Why are there so many splits in local churches? I would suggest to you it's because of a lack of love. It's a lack of love. I think someone in the assembly is doing something, again, that I just disagree with. I think this, I think that, I think this. And we get rifts that arise. Usually it's personality issues. I don't like the way that this person does this. And then I begin acting on that, and it causes a rift between believers, and they separate and go different directions. And I would suggest to you, when that happens, we're not showing agape love. We don't all have to, you know, believe exactly everything exactly the same way. The critical things in Scripture we do. But we need to deal with each other in love. 1 John 4:11-12, and you may not have thought there's this much in the Scripture about love, but 1 John 4:11-12 says this, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. We are to love one another. If we do, God's love is in us. If we don't, what does that mean? It would seem to indicate that God's love isn't within us. And I believe that's true. You may be saved, and God's love is not being exhibited in you. Because what you're doing is you're doing something according to the flesh, the real you. My love for fellow believers is a standard by which God will judge my love for him. If you love one another, you love me. Just a couple of love destroyers. And quickly, temper is a love destroyer. Reacting in anger, temper is a love destroyer. There are reasons that we do get upset, but we do it controlled. The tongue, sharp criticism, judgment of others, hasty opinion. Do you know what she did? Do you know what he did? You know, that is not love being exhibited in our lives. Secret contempt. We might have contempt for somebody because they have what we don't have, or they can do what we can't do. Unloving words. Think about that. Husbands, wives, do you utter words that are unloving? And when you do, does the Holy Spirit convict you of that? Because that's what agape love is. That is the real love of God, is being subject to God in everything that you do. Ephesians 4:15 says this, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. So we are to speak the truth, but we're always to do it in love. It amazes me when I'm in a crowd and I see people interacting, and I wonder, how in the world could they ever say that? Because that wasn't love. What they did, you can see it. Have you ever noticed? I just reading a book by, which I've read many times before, but reading a book by Ken McNair, who is a Christian counselor, who basically his premise is, his ministry is to men. And he's saying to men, we are to love as Christ loved the church. Which means, in order for me to love my wife properly, I need to love as Christ loved. So I must become Christ-like in order to love my wife the way God wants me to love my wife. And, you know, he talks in the entire book about the need for us as men to show agape love, to become Christ-like. And so you just replied to your wife. Was that in love? Was that loving? If somebody else were there, would they say, oh, that was really nice? Or would they say, oh, I didn't think that would come out of him? Because if I am responding in that way, I'm not showing my wife love. And we can carry that right across for wives and husbands and children. God's love, agape love, is Christ's love. Do I have the love of Christ in my life? And it's a challenge. Like, no matter where you are, I believe you can. We are in this journey. You have accepted Christ a lot of years ago. What's happening here when you're on earth, before you leave this earth? Hopefully you're growing to become more like Jesus Christ. Because you know what it says in the Bible about those who have accepted Christ as Savior? It says when we get to heaven and we see Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? It says we're going to be like him, for we'll see him as he is. That's what my goal is as I go through life, is to become more and more and more like my Savior. That when I meet him, I'm going to be like him. And I know I'll never perfectly be so here, but I want to grow and grow and become more and more like him, that others may see Jesus Christ in me. See the way I respond. See the way I talk. See the actions I give, the looks I give. Can you? You've heard the expression, looks kill? Have you heard that expression? I think so, most of us have. As a teacher, my looks were one of my greatest tools that I had in the classroom. Because if Johnny was misbehaving, I just give Johnny the stare while I was talking. And Johnny gets off uncomfortable because he realizes that I am looking directly at Johnny. And that happens in our lives too. Your children say, child, Johnny, do this. He responds, okay, but he's looking at you like, like this. So you understand, like I heard a story once of a father who was punishing his son. And so he had him sit in the corner for a period of time. And when his father came, and his father says, "I'm glad to see you're still sitting there." The kid replied, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm not sitting in the inside." You know, and that's the way we are, isn't it, a lot of times. We give the look, like, I might say, "Yes, dear." But how do I say, "Yes, dear"? Yes, dear. So I give by my looks and by my expressions. I express something that's in my heart. And becoming Christ-like is really treating the other person as Christ treats me. That's what the Bible says, to treat others as Christ treats you. So really, agape love, the love of Christ, is loving unconditionally. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The badge of Christians, the badge of a Christian, is love for other Christians. "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is a topic that has been on my heart recently as I see Christians interacting with each other and the pettiness that arises. Now, it gets worse when you got a bigger assembly because there's like more people that can interact and they don't do it very nicely. But it can happen in a small group or in a large group that we're not demonstrating the love of Christ to each other. And as we do that, as we exhibit agape love, I believe God is honored and we are blessed, because we have true harmony in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for dying for us on Calvary's cross. We thank you that this morning, if we have accepted you as Savior, our sins are forgiven, and we are children of God, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But Lord, we consider this topic of love, and we think about this in our own lives, in our prayer, each one of us, that it may be to love as Jesus loved, to love as Jesus loves, that we may show Jesus Christ through our actions, through our words, through our looks, through every aspect of our life, that we will treat others as we would want to be treated ourselves. May we, Lord, go forth from here and show love, the love of Christ. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you're doing a lot of building right now, too, right?